Hello and welcome to The Inner Gamer, episode 132. We are your weekly dose of video game news, reviews, opinions, and discussions made for and by our listeners. My name is Brayton Oski.
I'm Devin Dury.
And I'm Austin Morales.
Today on The Inner Gamer, we finally get to play some Splatoon 2. Brett dives into Avon Colony?
Avon? Probably Avon. Avon, I don't know.
And then me and Luis don't starve together, but I did starve and died a lot. We also have some new upcoming news from Atari and their console. PUBG bans a real dickhead. We'll tell you about him later. And then we'll talk a little bit about Terry Crews and how awesome he is at being a nerd and a gamer,
and
a nerdy gamer, because he's awesome. Finally, for our discussion topic, we're going to talk about the summer slog. It's coming to an end, and we're going to give our thoughts about what we did this summer and last summer and summers in the past and summers to come.
I know what you did last summer.
I hate you so much. Cue the music. Cue it. That was dumb.
Welcome to the Inner Gamer.
Everybody, it is June 25th, 2017. Welcome to the Inner Gamer Podcast. If you guys like what you hear, please help support the show on Patreon. Head on over to theinnergamer.net and click the donate button to contribute. Now, on to the games. And we have a very splattering first game, Splatoon 2.
I knew you were going to say something stupid.
Yeah, with that pause, Kevin, you just
knew it. Just drum roll. My eyes were in cock lock and ready to roll position. Eye roll commence.
So
how was Splatoon 2, you asshole?
God.
It's cool. It's interesting.
It's a lot of fun still.
I had a lot of fun playing it when me and Luis played at PAX. I haven't gotten to get it yet, but man, I had a hoot. Just with like three games we played, I had a ball. So I'm hoping it's the same.
Yeah.
It's cool how different it is from everything else, because it's, you know, in its shortest form to describe it, it's a third person shooter. But it's not, your objective obviously is not to kill each other. Your objective is to just splatter the world with paint.
But you can kill each other. And it's annoying.
Yeah. Do you get like ran over by the paint roller and just die?
I just get shot the fuck up.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's really good. I mean, it plays really well. Like I was kind of concerned about like the matchmaking and how smooth it would be when you jump into it, but
it was super smooth.
Yeah, it was super smooth.
What do they call it? Each game has their own like world testing thing, and they have their own name for it.
Oh no, I haven't done that yet.
You didn't jump into the beta they had? It was like a 3-day beta.
Oh,
for Splatoon, they tested the servers.
No,
yeah,
I mean, I didn't do that part. I just did. I mean, I just played the game.
Oh.
Like yeah, but I did the single player and I did the multiplayer, and I went into where you can connect to a local lobby with your friends in a room like you can with Mario Kart and stuff like that.
Oh, nice.
So I saw what that looked like, but I didn't do it. But they do have that ability. Well, because I didn't have any friends around.
Oh, okay.
You know,
I gotcha.
I was like, yeah. But it was cool because I like that Nintendo is supporting, like every game that is a Nintendo game has that built in to where all you have to do is create a room. Anybody that's in the room with you that's connected to the local area, however they configure, I guess it's Bluetooth. They can build rooms and play together, and it's fun. I mean, there's a progression system, so you progress through the world a lot. You level up all the time as you play through different rounds, and they encourage you to jump into multiplayer immediately. Like that's the encouragement to level up. So you can't unlock gear until you reach level 4, and the only way you get ranks that I found is through playing multiplayer. Because in single player,
yes,
you don't accrue that stuff. So
multiplayer just seems like a playground of just learning how to play. Because I played that first level before I don't know how far you got. But there's like this one level and you have to unlock these three different locations.
Oh, that's single player.
Yeah, this is single player.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I thought this was the tutorial.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, what am I going to get to the actual like multiplayer? And then I was like, oh, wait, this is single player. I got to go back out to like this main world, which is cool that when you first jump into the game, you're like in the city. And you're allowed to walk around like this little, I don't know, terrace area.
Yeah.
And that's where you go to multiplayer. And I guess there's places for you to buy stuff to
Yeah,
upgrade your things. And
the main menu is like, it's called Inkling Square, and it's just a series of people in this lobby that you can go up to, and you can put little emote things above your head and like interact with other players that are there. And then you can go up to these different shops, and each shop has its own function for the game. So rather than just having a menu where you just scroll up and down, you actually have a little like lobby world area that you can interact with people in.
What I find so refreshing about this game is, with as lighthearted as it is, it's just kids shooting each other with paint.
Yeah.
The depth and the intensity that it can like instill in the players.
Oh yeah. There's a huge competitiveness in this. I've lost so many games.
But you know what I like about that, though, is it's still fun. Like, it is still just... Yeah. There's something so lightheartedly fun about this game that I find really refreshing. Because, you know, you consider... you consider something along the lines of, you know, Battlegrounds and how intense and visceral, and everyone's just ready to shoot each other in the face and... it gets crazy. With this, it's like, you got me with the paint roller, you butthole. And you need to keep playing.
Yeah, you don't even want to get like super mad at anybody, because that's not the objective.
Oh,
the objective is to, oh, you did.
Yes, I got really mad.
Well, with the exception of Austin, you don't really want to get mad at anybody.
Son of a bitch, you got with your fucking, your pink paint, blue paint.
But yeah, I do like that lighthearted tone to the game. I mean, it's nice to transition, and from like, you know, playing Battlegrounds, or like even Overwatch is like an intense shooter game.
Yeah.
And even though it has a lighthearted, you know, art style to it, it's still very intense, and you are very competitive with this. With this, I just like just run around just dropping paint everywhere.
Right.
And the matches are short. So they're like, you know, I feel like at most 8 minutes, maybe 10, if that, but I feel like they're pretty minimal.
I don't even think that long.
Yeah, that doesn't seem that long.
Like 5 to 6 minutes maybe.
I'd say a 5 minute match is pretty.
Yeah. So they're pretty quick, and that's what's nice. So like, if you want to like go to the toilet and play around, you can do that and splatter ink
while
you're playing.
Are you playing this game while you're pooping?
Sometimes.
Okay.
I mean, it's the only game I can play. I mean, I don't play my phone, so I got my Switch, you know?
I mean, I think that progression system is really going to work for multiplayer. Or at least it's enticing me, because it's just like, dang, I got to get good. I got to keep playing even though I suck right now.
Yeah.
And the motion controls, I think, are pretty good. It's a little weird getting used to it, but I remember using motion controls when I played at South By, and I switched to the joystick.
Right.
And it just, I don't know.
So
the motion controls just seem a lot better.
I think
that's
so.
Because
when I started playing it, I started with motion controls, and I was struggling with it a little bit. So with the motion controls, you can still use your joystick to turn your character left and right, but you can move your entire Switch around, or your controller, or whatever you have, in order to make a like aim your cursor and stuff like that. So
right.
That at first was really weird, and I was struggling with it. So I went back to the joystick. But when I went back to the joystick, it was even worse.
Yeah, right.
I was like, okay, I'm going to jump back into motion controls now. And it's interesting to have that sense of motion in the game.
Right.
And you can get more precise shots that way, which I think helps out a lot.
I didn't like it at first, but by the last match, when I was using the sniper gun, I get the sniper paint gun or whatever, I was going, ooh, this is nice.
This is very nice.
Having that,
that little bit of edge.
Yeah.
A little bit of edge.
I mean, because you literally, I don't know, there's just something about it.
Well, there's something about, really, the mechanic in my mind is how easy it is when, you know, you're trying to aim with a precision-like gun. Because, you know, with a spray and pray kind of gun, it's just, I'm going to point this gun over here and waste a whole lot of bullets until whatever's in front of me isn't there anymore. As opposed to with the sniper gun, you're taking methodical amounts of time to really make sure that each bullet counts, and aiming is the crucial element in that. Well, when you get to actually tweak the Switch yourself, holding it in your hands, and you can get in the vicinity and then make a slight adjustment just by turning it, bam. And that's awesome.
And you know, when I was playing, it was so weird to me because it's new, but I felt the same way with Zelda. I like having that precision aiming
with
the arrows and stuff. So like, seeing it come through in all these games, it would be interesting to see what Super Mario Odyssey does with it. and how they like if you throw your hat, if you can like guide it with your
thing switch
or something. Yeah, you throw your switch. Yeah.
It's
not coming back.
But the only negatives I have with this game is the single player story is there's not much gripping me there. It's kind
of it's a puzzle. I don't even want to say kind of platformer because it is kind of platformy.
Yeah.
You just run around, you know, solve the stuff, do best times. I think it's a good way to get into the game to like just it seems like it's
learn the game. Yeah. It's like a way to learn the game. And it's very much a Nintendo feeling kind of single player. I mean, it's interesting, but I think the big pull here is the multiplayer. So the single player is there to kind of get your, you know, get your grips of the game. And then you jump into the multiplayer, and that's where like the longevity is going to be. So,
sure,
I'm excited for like everybody to get it, so we can start getting together, play together. They also with this, they launched the Nintendo Switch Online app that allows you to use voice chat. So that's now available. So download that; it's free. The only thing you can really do with it is voice chat. So, but it has that option available now for this. So if you guys connect together, it's weird. Like I don't know how I feel about it yet because. You have to have your phone. You have to pull out your
phone.
It's
got 2 stars on the on the Apple App Store.
You have to connect your
909 reviews.
Headphones to your phone then communicate through that.
Does anyone have Discord? Just use Discord.
That's true. You could just use Discord.
Why would you make your own app for this when it already exists in a better form?
Well, not only that, when the market's already saturated with enough of party style hangout, digital hangout rooms.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a crazy shitload.
Yeah, I was very surprised.
That already work very well.
I mean, you could easily just use you could use Discord, you could use Skype, you could use Google Hangouts, you could use...
No one likes Skype, everyone uses stuff. It.
Yeah, like there's so many things out there, but I mean, Nintendo just wants their brand on everything, so they want to control that environment. So I get it, but I feel like that's something that they should. You have a headphone jack on there. Maybe they can't. I don't know if you. I guess you can give. I mean, you can do both. You can do voice and because the headphones for the iPhone allow you to do voice and listen. So
right.
I don't know why they didn't just do that, but I don't know. We'll see where it goes. I mean, that's also gonna be the app that you use for your party chat talk, and then some of the online subscription stuff will be through that app. Right now, it does nothing but voice chat. Like, that's basically essentially what it is. But that's out now as a result of Splatoon 2. So bringing it all around, I think this is a dig still. I think it's a fun game. We finally have a multiplayer game for Splatoon 2. The matchmaking's vastly improved. When I first started playing the Global Test Fire or whatever it was called, like, man, that was buggy. Like, it would take me forever just to get into a game. Like, I would sit there. There was, like, an hour period we had, and it would take me 20 minutes to get into a five-minute game. So frustrated. So now, I mean, it's pretty quick. Like, a minute, two max, maybe. I don't know if you've encountered any longer, but...
Maybe three.
Yeah. Maybe. So it's a lot quicker to connect to a lobby. And I think it's because there's a larger number of people, obviously, that have purchased this. So,
right.
Anyway.
So I have a question for y'all.
Yeah.
Now we have 3 major Nintendo games to come out. You know, Breath of the Wild, ARMS, and now Splatoon 2.
Yes.
I feel like these are the games that we don't...
And 1, 2, Switch.
Yeah.
We won't talk about that one.
Sorry.
I feel like these are the games that we've been waiting for in the sense that they don't really need updates. They're pretty polished. They're pretty complete. While other games like are in constant alpha, constant beta, or we're constantly needing patches, constantly needing them fixed. I mean, what is it about Nintendo games? Is it because they're just so simple?
I think, well, the accessibility, and we've talked about this numerous times on other podcasts, just about Nintendo's accessibility. Even with some console games, you have to, like with PlayStation or Xbox, you have to get the game, download it, do all these updates, do the patches. Then you have, depending on the shooter or whatever that is, or whatever game it is you're playing, you have to create a profile. Then you have to create a loadout. Then you have all these things you have to do with these other, with these other companies. While with Nintendo, it's plug, play, pick up the controllers, and everybody needs to have some fun.
Right.
And that accessibility for people to be able to do that, while that has waned in the past, maybe a little bit with the Wii, pretty heavily with the Wii U. With the Nintendo Switch, that accessibility is now farther reaching than it ever has been. And it's nailing it with the way that you can take... I mean, we can take this anywhere. And at work, when I play mine on my break, people all the time are coming up, hell, what's that? I'm like, here, come play Snipper Clips with me. And they have a blast.
That's awesome.
Well, I'm just surprised that we don't have day one patches from Nintendo.
I know, we haven't had any of that yet. It's that's true.
We're having some lag issues. The game will be down for a little bit because
server maintenance on Tuesday.
Nintendo doesn't have that. I've never had a problem with that.
So what I think is, the reason why it's like that is because all these other games that we play on every other console device, I feel like every time they try and push further and further and further with their game to the point where they have to put so much into it that everything's broken.
Yeah.
And like, and they fix it after. But with Splatoon and ARMS, they are very simple games.
Yeah.
There's very basic concepts to these games. Mm-hmm. Like with ARMS, all you do is you jump. There's like five different types of matches. There's not really a single player. There is, but it's not. It's like a Street Fighter where you just fight different worlds and just fight the different characters.
Right.
And there's not a lot to that world or space. I mean, there's a very strong art style, but it's not like you jump into a Far Cry where there's this vast open world where they have like so much just stuff in it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
This is all about gameplay and experience of playing the game, and that allows them, I think, to.
I mean, is this the quintessential like what games should be? Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, we would all like them to be like that, but obviously we were restricted with a lot of limitations, at least, and what from console or PC or even just from a dev standpoint, there's always restrictions and limitations.
Right.
I think Nintendo is very aware of those restrictions and limitations, and I think they make sure that they placate to that, which is why for them, time is always on their side. They know their content. They know their audience. It's just a matter of time for them, which is always, we know we're going to put out some fun party style game. We know we're going to put out a Mario. We know we're going to put out.
Right.
Well, I mean, at this point, they know that they're going to be putting out games like Splatoon. So with them knowing what these titles are, it's just a matter of time and how they want to release it with those limitations and restrictions in place.
Yeah.
So what are we saying here? Nintendo's like the greatest game creators ever that they don't even have to worry about time.
I wouldn't necessarily go far.
I mean, we've had plenty of complaints with them in the past and leading up to this console. But
I think with Nintendo, they've listened a lot to their player base.
Yeah.
They've listened a lot. They've responded well to what's happening. They know they can't compete anymore with the big dogs like Microsoft and PC PlayStation. So rather than competing, they've now created their own genre of console that nobody else can really touch that, because Nintendo has these properties that nobody will ever be able to. I mean, how many people have made a character that's as iconic as Mario? Like,
negative.
There's like nobody out there that is as strong as Mario. And they finally figured that out, and now that's what they're capitalizing on is let's make that happen.
Good old Nintendo charm.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens going forward, because now they're starting to spread that brand into these other systems.
Right.
And encroaching on those lands, which will be pretty crazy. But anyway, so
cool. Splatoon 2.
Yeah. So another game I want to talk about, this game, when you guys are listening to this podcast, it comes out today. The embargo lifted this morning, and it is a game out of a studio in Austin, Texas called, I forgot the name. Let me look it up. But it's Studio of Austin, Texas, and the game is called Avon Colony. So this is basically an indie game. Mothership Entertainment, that's the name. This is published by Team 17, the guys that did Yooka-Laylee. And they're also working on Escapist 2. They published Escapist 2, which comes out at the end of August. So that'll be a cool thing as well. Avon Colony is a very true-to-life RTS-style resource management game, essentially. So when I jumped into this, I was thinking it was most closely associated like a Command & Conquer, StarCraft, Age of Empires. It's not a combat game at all. It is literally a resource management and city building type of simulator, RTS game. So you are in this futuristic world, this colony on a planet, and you have these properties that you have these you live inside these buildings that have tunnels that lead into other areas. So the oxygen in the world is not enough for you to, you know, live in open air kind of environments. So everybody that lives inside these pod things, and they travel from tunnels to different parts of the buildings. And your goal is to, one, expand your colony, two, make sure your colonists are always satisfied and happy with the work that they're doing and the places that they're living in, and then make sure that you are consistently always growing your resources and things of that nature and weathering the storms and stuff like that. Because like winter will come through, you'll have like electric storms that come through that could like damage some of your things that are building resources for you, whether it be food, providing energy, accumulate, or, you know, places that are inhabiting things for people. So like you can build these big, huge structures that are habitats for people to live in. There's all these different things you can do, and you have to manage all this all at once. So as time goes on, you learn more and more about what you can do, and it gets really complicated because, you know, there's sometimes your people will be upset because they have to walk too far to their work. Like their job, there's not enough tunnels for them to get the most like closest location to where they need to go. So you have to then figure out how to like restructure your city in order to allow them to have shorter distances from their habitats to the different areas in this civilization that you're building. And it's a cool game. It's definitely different than anything I've played in a long time. There's not many games like this out there. The graphics are gorgeous. It looks really, really good. And it's a lot of fun. The biggest negative I have with it is it's kind of confusing, the UI. The UI is complicated in that they don't have much.
It looks crowded.
It is crowded.
It looks like a very crowded UI.
Yeah. They have it on Xbox, which I haven't played the Xbox version, or they have it on consoles.
Those poor console players.
I know, right? So they have like the radial wheel where you select things, but on mine, it's just a series of icons at the bottom. But they're not named well enough. And the icons, you know, eventually you find out like there's a water icon, which is like water resources, because you have to figure out how to collect water, because there's not just like rivers that are on your planet. You actually have to figure out ways to use the air or whatever to produce water inside your facility. And then you have to have solar panels to produce electricity and different things like that. So it's just confusing as the more you get into it, figuring out what buildings do what. Because as you start building things in your world, they're not different enough for me to tell, okay, this is a habitat and this is a geothermal generator or whatever. They look similar. And so they need more diversity in the way that they look so you can build faster and quicker. So that'll change over time. But right now it was confusing jumping into it and figuring that out. But I mean, if you guys like city builder games, I don't know if any of you guys are into city builders at all, but it's a cool type of city builder. It's different. It's not just here's a city and you build it. This is, you're building an alien civilization essentially on another planet. And
I mean, it looks cool.
Yeah.
The graphics look great.
Yeah, it looks neat.
I mean, I think the lighting is really awesome. I don't know if I
just wasn't
get into
a fan
it.
Of that UI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's no story. Like, that's the other thing that kind of bummed me out is I don't know what I'm doing here other than the fact that I'm building a city, which is fine. But, you know, when you're in a world that is the United States or whatever, and you're building stuff, you know kind of what the goal is because it's familiar to you. With this, like, I've never been to another planet and stuff like that. I mean, I know I'm building a colony here, but there's no like end goal. You're just achieving these different objectives and missions,
right,
to just expand it out further. So I wish there was some kind of purpose more than let's just make it bigger. But I think it's a cool game. It's a very interesting concept, and it's very, very polished. Like, the game plays extremely well. I'm getting straight 60 frames per second on full 3440 by 1440 resolution. Everything turned up very high. It looks great. So as far as a game that just came out, it's very well polished. It just, I think, could use some more UI work and stuff like that to add to the experience. But for me, it's a delay. But I think for people that are into city builders and stuff, go check it out, pick it up, you know, jump into that. Like,
right.
It's a lot like, what was that game that came out they have a bunch of them that have different years in their name.
Civilization?
No, not Civilization. It's not as intense as Civilization. Like, Civilization is like on a whole other level for sure in terms of like management of stuff. But Anno 1066
or whatever, it's
a lot like that. It has that kind of look and vibe. So
this looks like a game that if you can't get it right in the first 20 minutes, shit's just going to happen to your colony. It's just going to go all downhill. Like there's that, no recovery.
That first 10 minutes of management of your resources and time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could get like that.
I mean, sandstorms roll in, then you're focusing on repairing something, and then, you know, life support starts going out, and before you know it.
You must construct additional pylons.
No, I don't!
Yeah, I was... The money in the game is called nanites, and I was collecting a bunch of nanites and stuff, so I just started building shit like crazy. I was like, I'm going to build this, and all of a sudden my people, you're up for election, or like you get some kind of award for being a good mayor, leader of the city, and people are like, there's too much crime, and I have to walk too far to get to my office. And I was like, I wasn't even thinking about this. I was trying to make sure you guys had enough food to survive the winter. And here you're complaining about crime.
First colony problems, man.
I know. It's crazy.
Jeez.
But it's a cool game. I mean, like I said, it's...
Over here building your future and you're complaining about work, travel.
It's a delay, but it's definitely cool. I would keep my eye on it and watch to see where it goes because I think it has a lot of potential.
10% off right now on Steam.
Yeah. How much? What was the price? I don't think it's full price. I think it's
I'd have to go back
less than that. But yeah. So a development team out of Austin, Texas. Pretty cool.
Nice.
And worth looking into.
It is currently
$26.99,
and it's regularly $30.
Yeah. So that's not bad.
No, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
If you know this is a game you'll like, then it's probably definitely a pick it up right now.
Anyway, so Devin.
Yeah.
You didn't starve, or did you?
Oh, I starved multiple times.
Sounded like it.
Oh, man. Yeah.
How fast did you die?
Yeah. Luis and I played Don't Starve together. Luis isn't on the cast today, but big shout out to him because he's the one who actually gave it to me. Because when you buy Don't Starve Together... I guess, I don't know if it was during the sale or not, but you get two copies of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Because he was wanting me to get it, and I was like, all right, I'll get it. He's like, no, don't buy it. I've got another one. It came with two copies. So he gets it to me. I was like, fuck yes. Best deal I've had all yet. So we played Don't Starve Together, and this game, by my standards, is fucking ridiculously hard.
Wow.
Those are high standards.
That's very high standards.
So Don't Starve Together, it is a very interesting art style. It has a lot of really cool elements as far as construction. I basically equate it to a more 1930s cartoonish style Minecraft of
interesting.
Yeah, build your stuff, eat, survive. Whatever.
What are you building? Like just places to live?
No, I wish. No. I wish that was the
campfires
case.
Campfires and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, it's to the very...
Bare essentials.
Bare essentials of survival. So it's on a day progression. You make your character, you get into the game, and you are just basically left to your own devices. So you have to find things to survive. You have a health bar, you have your hunger meter, and you have your sanity meter. These are the things that you have to keep in the green in order to not fucking die. So if your health goes down, if you get hurt, you have your hunger meter, which if you don't eat, then you have your sanity meter, which each character is unique in how they keep their sanity down. So the character I first chose, his name was Woody. He was a lumberjack. It was great because he started out the game with an indestructible axe. It was awesome. So that means
that's
I could
cool.
chop all the wood I wanted. However, randomly, and I still haven't figured out what makes this happen, randomly, Woody will turn into a giant beaver. And he is unable to carry gear. And all he can do is chomp down trees with his giant teeth and eat wood to sustain his wood hunger.
That's super random.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Are you a were-beaver?
I guess it seems like it because I was wondering what was happening because midway through playing, I was chopping down a tree and this little voice just pops up on the screen. It's just like, what are you doing that for? Why aren't you eating the wood? And I'm like, why not? I'm a lumberjack. I don't eat wood. And then I turned into a beaver and shit got weird. But you have to create everything. You have to create your axes. You have to harvest saplings so you can make sticks to hold your pickaxe. You have to find stones to make the pickaxe and axes. You have to get food. You have to either find berries or carrots or kill the wildlife. But don't just think you could walk up and kill the wildlife. Oh, no. No, no. The wildlife will run from you like it does in the real world. So you have to do things like, you know, go hunt rabbits, go hunt turkeys, go hunt pheasants and whatnot. And I was so overwhelmed at first with everything that was going on. What's even worse is a week into play, because it's all in a day progression. So you go day by day. If you make it to the night without fire of some kind, be it a campfire or a torch, you just sit in the dark. And guess what? If you just sit in the dark, you just die. some unknown force, some unseen monster. I don't know what the hell it is. I died because I didn't make a torch fast enough. All the worlds are large and pre-generated. So, you know, no two worlds are the same as you drop in. I still haven't figured out all the mechanics and all the different levels that this game has, because I've literally just been trying to find enough berries to not fucking kill my character.
It's amazing the reviews and stuff on it, because it's got overwhelmingly positive, which is very hard to get on Steam. So that's
I mean, it's still very gotta be amazing. Good. It's still very good, and I've had a lot of fun playing it, but it is fucking hard.
I think I'm afraid to play. I always want to get this game because I just
Well,
it's not like an interesting co-op game.
The co-op part was great because at least Luis and I were like having fun together trying to manage. I was like, oh, shit, I'm out of food. He's like, oh, here's some carrots. And he's like, oh, shit, my axe broke. I go, oh, I made two more axes. Here, have some. And you run out of space, so you have to make like a chest and all this shit. Point is.
This looks like a great game to play.
Man. It is fun, but you need to be prepared to use your time wisely when you get in. Like, from the moment you get in, there's no just, ooh, explore the world. No, grab some sticks, build a fucking campfire, do it now, you stupid
dick.
Time is
of the essence.
Stupid
dick. And know the character that you're playing, because each character has a different way that their sanity meter goes down. The second character I tried to play was a little pyromaniac girl.
Oh, jeez.
She's a tiny little girl, and she's a pyromaniac. So the only way that she could...
So her sanity meter was already down.
Well, the only way to... like build her sanity meter up was to be near fire. Well, she has a lighter, which is great. And she can set trees on fire, which is great. Unfortunately, you've just made a forest fire. So
you're just like, oh, thank God. I'm sane.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. So, okay, good. My sanity's up. I've lost all the wood to make things. So this is good.
Oh, that's, I didn't think about that. It's crazy. So what about, that one does that. Like, how many characters are there you can pick
there's,
from?
From what I was saying, there's like eight. There's,
okay. That's a lot.
The main character, Wilson, is a scientist. He can build some cool stuff. And like the way you can like get rid of his sanity damage is by shaving his beard or creating things. Like he really gets off on doing like creating items and experimenting with like making rope out of whatever. There is a Viking girl. She can only eat meat. Like each character has something cool, but they have a drawback.
Right.
So
sounds like a lot of fun. Like for, you know, I guess how many players can play together? Is it four?
From what I can tell, it's only two. It's just
really. Yeah, I think it's just two.
It's just two.
That's kind of lame.
Oh, dude, it's hard. It's hard as shit. And what sucks is because each world is procedurally generated.
Right.
The first time we played, me and Luis, we were just overrun with awesome resources, like all this stone and wood and precious metals like gold and nitrite and all this shit. I was like, man, this is amazing. There is no food anywhere. I'm so hungry. Like, and then the next time, because we were like, fuck this, we're going to do a new world. We started a new world. Food everywhere. food. Like, dude, I was picking carrots up. I was like, fuck yeah, I've got carrots and berries for days. No rocks anywhere. I could not make shit.
What do you need rocks for?
You need to, you'll see these big boulders in the world, and you have to pickaxe them down to make, to find gold, to find gold and flint. Flint being what you need to start fucking fires. You don't just get wood and be like, oh, cool, I can start a fire. No, you need fucking flint, man. You need to spark some shit together and make
it's not like Minecraft. You just go up and like hammer at a square and get what you need.
Yeah, fuck, I wish. What's even worse is if you make it to 7 days, the monsters in the world are going to come and hunt you. They will hunt you down. They're going to hunt you down.
Yeah, some of these monsters don't look very pretty.
They're not. They're very scary.
Is there an end game, or is it just you keep on surviving until
fucking
you die?
Survive, Brett. Fucking survive.
So how many days have you made it so far?
I made it 7.
So you don't know what goes past 7.
Dude. When I tell you it is hard, I want you to take in consideration how many games I have played that are based off of just difficulty curves.
Yeah.
This game overwhelmed me.
I don't think I've ever heard you say that.
I know, right?
Like ever.
So this game overwhelms you, this game will destroy me.
So we should have Travis play this game.
Oh, probably. That'd be great for his blood pressure. Oh man.
That's crazy.
There are some drawbacks in my opinion. Like obviously the strengths, the game looks great and it's a lot of fun with, you can, you know, play with a partner and there's a lot of really cool elements of cool stuff you can build. Rope, armor, chests, like the creation and crafting system is really cool. I've really enjoyed what I've had so far. It looks cool. The crafting system's great. However, what has just been really frustrating is the not just lack of a tutorial or anything like that, but there's just no explanation.
Yeah.
There's just no explanation of anything. You're literally just kind of dropped in, which I get that, you know, difficult but fair, but at the very least, like some of these games should at least tell me, like, tell me what I should be looking for, or at least tell me that the stuff I'm trying to create together isn't going to work. Like, there's nothing if you're on your own.
Yeah. No. Don't starve.
Get this game.
Yeah, don't starve.
Yeah.
I've seen it before, but I was like, this, I don't think I like this game.
Oh, I played a little bit of the original Don't Starve before they made it co-op, and it was interesting. It just wasn't, I didn't fit with me, but I think this feel, being with a friend, would make it a lot more exciting.
And you can do PvP if you'd like. They do have PvP settings.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, you could sit there and spend all this time creating all your shit, and then another dude can come in and tear all that shit down and burn it to the ground.
This needs to be on the Switch.
They are making it for the Switch.
Look, man, it's hard. It's fucking... Oh.
Just seems cool. Like all the creatures from the universe of Cthulhu just came out into this world. Yep, there they are.
It is a dig, though. So awesome. If you do enjoy these kinds of survival games, there's so many different types that you can play, so I definitely suggest getting it. It's only like, what was it, $16?
Yeah, I think it's not very expensive.
It's not expensive, so go pick it up.
Awesome. Well, everybody, thanks for listening to this segment. That's going to wrap up our game discussion this week. Stay tuned, and we'll be back with our video game releases and gaming news.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
We are now nearing the end of July, and this week we have our upcoming video game releases that are half in July and half in August. So,
I hope
you guys are ready. It's gonna be pretty interesting. We're about to enter. This is the final calm before the storm, because starting in August and going to the end of the year, it is nothing but like release drops left and right.
Winter is coming.
Winter.
I'm broke. I'm already broke.
Well, you're about to get more broke.
Who wants the kidneys?
It's about to happen. But anyway, so this week we don't have a whole lot of stuff coming out, but there's some interesting titles to talk about. So on July 28th, we have Pikmin for the 3DS, or I guess also probably the 2DS as well, because they're not producing the 3DS anymore. But anyway, Hey, Pikmin. Captain Olimar has crashed on an unknown planet inhabited by Pikmin, and his first 2D platform. This 2D platform will give you a new perspective on his adorably fierce partners. Touch the screen to throw Pikmin into action, swim with blue Pikmin, fly with winged Pikmin, and more to survive hostile wildlife, solve ecological puzzles, and escape. So, have you guys ever played any Pikmin games or anything like that?
No. I wanted to, like, early on when the Wii came out. It looked pretty cool.
I played the Wii one.
Yeah? Fun?
Yeah. it's going to sound really bad. The only reason I never bought it. The only reason I played it was because it was when I was still working at a video game store that had it on its display. And when the store was dead, I would walk over and
play it.
Yeah.
And then you got fungus on your hands from all the things growing on the controller.
Hey, man, I cleaned that shit every day.
That's good. Because he knew he was going to be playing
Pikmin. Yeah, I know.
Right?
I was like, I got to play this later. So
that's cool. In addition to that, we also have on August 1st, a game that's coming out. This game has been in early access for a long time because I reviewed it on this podcast probably like 40, 50 episodes ago. It's been a long time.
Been a while.
But this game is called The Long Dark. It's coming out on PC, Xbox One, and PS4. The Long Dark is a thoughtful exploration survival experience that challenges solo players to think for themselves as they explore an expansive frozen wilderness in the aftermath of a geomagnetic disaster. There are no zombies, only you, the cold, and the threats that Mother Nature can muster. I played about an hour, 2 hours of this game. It was very interesting.
Yes.
If you like survival games. I didn't die. Almost died. Close to dying. But there was just, it was very early access, obviously. So there wasn't a whole lot that you could do in it other than just travel around this world. But it was very cold because it's in this ice land and I couldn't find a whole lot to do. There wasn't much happening there because I guess it is an ice land.
Yeah.
But it's all about the survival aspect. Cool. So you go into like buildings, and when you're inside buildings, you get a little bit warmer. So that helps you from not passing out. You walk out on like ice, you can like fall through the ice or whatever. And there's wolves that show up in different places and things like that. So it's a good looking game. It's an interesting survival game if you are into the survival genre. So right. That'll be coming out on August 1st.
All right.
I'll be down for that.
There we go. That's all we got. And then we have a lot in August, so prepare for that. But let's talk about some video game news.
News.
First up, Atari has finally revealed what their console will look like. It is the Atari box thing. That's what I call it.
So that's
awesome.
The official name of it?
It's not, but it is the Atari box, actually. So yeah, I call it box thing, but it's actually the Atari box. It's like a retro looking Atari console with a streamlined modern
with wood paneling
old design. Yeah,
it's got wood paneling.
So it's new and old at the same time.
I would have been disappointed if the new Atari didn't have wood paneling.
Well, they do have a version that's red that doesn't have the wood paneling.
Fuck that thing. I'm getting the wood paneling.
It is cool because it's got a nice glow. Yeah. So they haven't revealed a whole lot about what it's going to be other than it does have HDMI ports, it does have USB, and it does have an SD card. And they have come out to say that it wants to bring both, quote, current and, quote, classic gaming content to this device.
What does that mean?
And it will have modern internal specs.
What does that mean?
It's tough. Like, are they trying to compete with Xbox and PlayStation? Or are they coming in lower where they're trying to, like, fill that void between, I mean, the Switch, as we talked about earlier, kind of does that. What are they doing with this?
Here's my initial reaction to, you know, when, like, reading this. You know that episode of Rick and Morty, when they have the Cronenberg episode and he tries to basically fix Morty's problem of getting in love by making a love potion?
Yeah.
And everybody turns into manises and then everybody turns into Cronenbergs?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I feel like this is what's happening with this fucking Atari.
Yep, basically.
I mean, I could be wrong, but just from the idea of, like, we want to do classic as well as modern, and we want to...
So is it going to be as strong as the PS4 Pro? Or
like, what does modern specs mean? Are you talking PS4 Pro? Are you talking first of the launch Xbox One? Are we talking Nintendo style specs where it's going to be nothing graphically fucking astonishing? And is it like we
1080p.
No, yeah. Okay. Thanks. We just don't know enough yet.
Right. I think from an Atari perspective, like this console looks like it's not very big. It looks like it could be the size of a Xbox One S, maybe a little bit smaller than that potentially. For me, like, I mean, imagine if this was something that came with Steam on it. Like, that would be sick.
Looks like this big.
It won't.
You guys can't see, but this big.
So it's this big right here. Look right now at me, but you can't. But I mean, Atari doesn't have a lot of original titles that they can back their system with like Nintendo does. So how are they going to, and then they have to build a brand new ecosystem essentially in order to get people on board with this. It's kind of like the Ouya that came out back when. The Ouya failed because it didn't have a system. It didn't have an ecosystem that people were already familiar with. So they had to like get a bunch of people behind it. And the last big Atari game that came, Test Drive Unlimited was an Atari published game. And then they had Neverwinter Nights, I think, was Atari. So like that's been a long time ago. So what is this going to, where is this going to
fit
in? You
get two games at launch.
Yeah.
More coming in 3 years.
Yeah.
I don't know. They better have like a nice lineup of new games along with, I mean, if this comes with all the old games, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
if this had a whole bunch of like old Atari games that you could get pretty cheap and just old games in general and allowed me to play, if it gave me access to like a Steam, like if it gave me Steam, I'd be excited.
What type of console is it trying to achieve? Is this a cash grab? Is this a reimagining?
All right. Next story we have to talk about is
PUBG
Player Unknown's Battlegrounds banned the popular streamer Dr. Disrespect.
Sounds like he needs to be banned
because of things that he said. So to kind of set up the scene with this, he was he and Brendan Green, the guy Player Unknown, were going back and forth on Twitter talking about Dr. D was saying, "Oh, he'll break the rules anytime, anywhere." Green responded, "You follow the rules or you get out." And it all seemed like they're just going back, having a fun time, bantering back and forth. And then there was a part where Dr. D came back to Player Unknown and was like, "If I could do the splits, I'd roundhouse kick you in the next." I think they changed that. "But since I can't, I'll just front kick you in the chest instead." So then Player Unknown responded and said, "Suggesting violence is the best way to solve a disagreement is just wrong, even if you are playing a character." And after that happened, he went and banned Dr. Disrespect.
So I just heard about this guy, Dr. Disrespect. I've seen a few of his videos on highlight reels for PUBG.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean he's a crazy guy. He's got a freaking what do you call it, the mullet thing going on,
yeah.
And he's got his group that he calls the what are they called? I'm trying to find the name of it. They have some kind of club that you can join that pops up every time you're watching. Oh, the Slick Daddy Club. That's what it's called.
That is the lamest fucking name in existence.
He's super popular, though.
Here's the thing. I'm just now hearing about who this guy is.
Yeah.
I have no idea. And all I can tell you is this just sounds like a gamer, bro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what it seems like. At least he's playing that character.
I do not give a flying fuck if he is banned or not. And I'm glad he is.
Yeah.
It's the kind of putrid personality I hate in our community. I really do. I hate personalities like this.
People love it. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
He gets
a lot of people. You know, it's wild because I mean I watched the stream. It was interesting. He's a good player. I mean he's good at the game.
Okay, cool.
And there was parts that were interesting to watch, but I thought it was kind of I didn't like the humor that he had. But people watched the heck out of him. But the reason why Brendan Green did it is because it kind of brought back memories back to when he was in college, in which he had a disagreement with somebody in school. And instead of talking it out like they should have, his flatmate is what what it was, decided to get aggressive. And when he was backing away, he kicked him in the chest and put his head through a plate glass door.
Jesus
so
Christ.
Because of him saying this to him, it brought back like memories of that moment and, you know, kind of hit him emotionally. Like, you know, it triggered something. So
triggered.
He said
triggered.
He doesn't want to, that to come back. And
right.
So that kind of stuff is why he reacted the way that he did. And, you know, I think this is, there's so much toxicity in the gaming world as it is.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with this move at all.
Well, and for anyone out there, like I'm all for free speech and being able to say what you want to say. However, don't be fucking surprised about the consequences of whatever it is the fuck you say. That's obviously creating and harvesting a very toxic environment and making the game less fun because now you've added that atmosphere into it. It's already competitive. Make it a respectful, fun competitive.
And that's why I don't like playing League of Legends, for example, is because that community can be very toxic and very, they have the gatekeeper mentality. Like we talked about a long time ago, you know, Devin was leading that discussion in which that these guys are the gatekeepers that keep you out of wanting to enjoy this game that they play so much.
Oh yeah. Get good or get out, faggot.
Yeah. And that and stuff like, just seriously? Doesn't fly.
In my opinion,
one, you're 12 years old.
Yeah, one, you're fucking 12 years old. Two, don't talk to anyone like that ever saying that kind of shit. And then three, if you want someone to get good, why not help them get good?
Right. I agree. Yeah, I mean, I think it's... So we have a interview coming out soon with Sea of Thieves. And in that interview, we were talking with the executive producer and the game director on their community that they're building around the Sea of Thieves game. And one thing that I thought was really fascinating is that they've already established this really strong community with their insider program on this game. And the community themselves has established a baseline for Sea of Thieves in that there's no swearing, there's no cussing in their environment. And they don't have that. So they've already, as a community, established this set of rules to where this is a game meant to be accessible to a lot of different people, and it's not meant to shun players for, you know, not being good or not doing this or not doing that.
Right.
And I think that's so fascinating that they were able to build that sense of positive tone in this game that they had nothing to do with that, you know? So like that was just incredible. So I wish more stuff did that. Because there's a lot of games out there. I mean, Call of Duty, League of Legends, Dota can be that way. Like, there's a whole bunch of them that are that way.
I think that's one of the reasons I quit playing Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 was just, when you had to sit there in the lobby and just mute everybody prior to playing just because you didn't want to hear their backlash. Like, it was so consistent that every match was just, oh, you fucking stubborn pussy bitch. I'm out. I'm just going
to
mute it.
I will tell you that PUBG has a lobby, and you had to sit in there for 1 minute while people join up.
Don't turn your chat on.
Yeah, I already have my thing muted, but people are, like, yelling. Some people like to cuss. Some people just play music really loud. Some people are just, like, BSing. It's just like, okay. But it's just for that moment, because the rest of the time you hardly see anybody unless you kill them, you know?
Yeah.
So it just kind of sucks that. But I wish I could have been there.
The community
to see
is still this way, and it's just it's going to take time for it to fix itself.
Yeah. It might not.
I mean, we have to take steps to fix that. But. Yeah.
But I wish I could have been there to see this guy's reaction when he was like, what kind of play? What's going on?
Fuck him.
It's so hilarious.
Fuck him. Why am I banned? What the hell?
Yep.
Good. Yep. Anyway. I'm glad you're banned. Dr. Disrespect. That's so fucking lame.
That's an awful name.
So fucking lame. Yeah. My God.
So, in a lighter tone, potentially, BioWare has had some more shifting going on. This is good and bad, but
yes.
BioWare Canada has got some personnel changes happening. Aaron Flynn, the current general manager of BioWare, who has been there for 17 years at their Edmonton studio, which is essentially his entire career, is now leaving BioWare to go move on to other things. And as he leaves, they are bringing in the infamous Casey Hudson, who was responsible for all, like, basically the executive, the producer behind Mass Effect 1 through 3. He left 3 years ago and is coming back to probably what we think is to work on Anthem. So there's a shift happening in BioWare.
Good
things are happening. Other things are happening. So we'll see where that leads us. But I just, you know, Casey Hudson left. That was a big blow to BioWare as a studio. Maybe it'll kind of pick things up a little bit. So
that's what I think they need him.
Yeah,
I think they need him big time.
How do you feel about that, Devin? You and your awesome, lengthy Mass Effect playing time.
I'm trying to find a fuck to give, and I think I'm out.
That's okay.
Sorry,
it's okay,
man. I just, it's all good.
Cool. Well, next story. You guys remember Pokemon Go?
No.
Still a thing. Still happening. People are still playing it.
This is gonna be awesome.
So Pokemon Go. How they came up with this being a good idea, I really don't know. But they decided to have
Quick preface this, Pokemon Go just went through a major update more recently, and I think a lot more people kind of jumping back into it because of all the things you can do. There's a lot more group play involved.
All the raids.
Yeah, it was raids.
All the raids you could do.
I haven't experienced yet, and now apparently they're going to start releasing some of these legendary Pokemon into the world. So that's really cool. Like that, it gets me pumped, but I'm probably not going to jump back into it. And then to hear this happen, it's just a constant, like, yeah, like there's this awesomeness. And then they follow up with something super shitty. And it's like, what the hell, Niantic?
Yeah.
So now we can go into this.
Yeah. So Niantic decided to have what they call the Pokemon Go Fest. They decided to put on a really big public festival in Chicago, which is a event that took place on July 22nd, where people came from all over to
the
hang
world.
Out, all over the world to hang out, play special raids, earn medals, do these eggs, and have what rare. Was going to be very rare Pokemon and things of that nature. So this event happened, and it was a complete shit show, because what happens when you put thousands and thousands of people into one area, all with phones that connect to the same wireless network, everything falls apart. And I feel like if you've been to any like live music concert, if you've been to any festival, if you've been to any expo hall of any kind, your phones just don't work. Like, it's really hard to get service to happen. And so a game that relies on, one, having a phone, two, having a phone that actually gets good cell service, and three, probably not having any Wi-Fi in there. I mean, maybe there was Wi-Fi, but they were talking about how they were trying to work with the cellular networks to boost the area. I'm like, no.
You think you would get a convention hall, pay for the ungodly price of internet there, and then have that included in everyone's... Because apparently this was a paid event.
Yes.
Are you serious?
So people came from all over the world, paid for this event... Come to this event, nobody can play.
Yeah. So it was so bad that Niantic is saying that they are going to refund the attendees, every one of them, for the cost of their tickets, in addition to $100 worth of Pokecoins for this being a disaster. So not only was this event expensive for them, and it was a disaster, now they have to pay everybody back, and then $100 more. Like, I don't know what this means for the future of Pokemon Go, because that's a big blow financially. Yeah.
So John Hankey, the CEO of Niantic, got on stage to address this stuff, and he was booed off.
They were flipping him off and stuff.
And then a chant started happening saying, "We can't play." And the people, moderators who were like moderating a battle, like they were just trying to make it seem like nothing was happening. And then apparently the chant changed again. And then Niantic came out saying they're trying to fix this stuff. And apparently, like, most of the people couldn't even get into the event because it was so crowded. So they were just out on the streets in lines.
And there was no Pokemon to catch out there.
Apparently, this one tweet says 75% of the paying customers were still outside. And it's just like, fuck? Niantic, what the hell? And apparently it was a small venue. It was a small park.
Yeah. Yep.
Well,
it was amazing.
That that's not surprising, sorry to say, from my outsider perspective looking in.
I mean, how much bad management can you go through?
That's somebody who tried to run an event who's never actually run an event before. Like, you need to have, like, you should have, I don't know if they paid somebody to do this, but there's people out there.
Oh, they paid somebody. They had to.
Well,
I don't think you could do this without.
Yeah, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah. Anyway, I found it hilarious.
Yeah.
Go figure.
I think so, too. So on a much better note, we have Call of Duty World War II, and it's coming out this November, and they just revealed the Nazi Zombies trailer,
yeah,
which is their zombie component of World War II. We all saw the trailer. What did you guys think of it?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah?
Oh, it was fucking great.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but anytime you just add Nazis into some sort of shooter genre, I'm in. I don't know why.
And they're zombies.
That's why I've always loved the Wolfenstein sci-fi Nazis. That's always fun. And now we'll get to do Nazis as zombies. Not only that, it looked fucking gruesome, like George A. Romero style.
Yes.
Zombies, may he rest in peace.
It was the creators of Dead Space.
Yeah. So Sledgehammer Games is the team that built Dead Space. So they got pulled into Activision to work on Call of Duty. So they worked on Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. That was their first title with Activision. Now they're building Call of Duty World War II. And as part of that, because of their Dead Space background, I mean, they obviously have skills in making horror. So they're now making this horror version of the Nazi zombies. And I like this a lot because it's not, you know, the past several zombie games got to the point where they were going really just very, like, funny and, you know, going with a humorous tone to it, which I think was cool and interesting to make the regular Call of Duty that wasn't that great more exciting. But this has such a dark feeling undertone to it that it's refreshing to me. Like, one, it's refreshing that they're going back to World War II, and it's also refreshing that they've taken the zombies back to being scary, because we're so used to, like, zombies just being crazy wild, and this looks like I'm actually afraid of what's going to happen. You know, it's not just, let's just blow up a bunch of zombies, yeah, let's have fun, it's gonna be awesome.
It looks like they took their graphics the next level.
Yeah, so
it's not that arcadey feel that the other ones had.
Right
Especially the last one, which was very arcadey.
Yeah,
still cool, but this one looks more real.
I look forward to seeing what the gameplay is like, how they develop that. If they have characters in it, what's going to happen with that? So we'll see how it goes. Last story I want to mention real quick. This is our worth mentioning article here. Terry Crews had an interview with a PC gamer, and he's best known for being a football player, and he was also in a lot of movies and TV shows. So he was in, like, Brooklyn Nine-Nine and whatnot.
Old Spice.
A bunch of commercials.
Yeah, I think he was an Old Spice guy at one point. Yeah. So he is a huge gamer. Huge gamer. He's been playing games since the days of the Atari. He plays PUBG a lot. He's got his kid into games. They have an HTC Vive room at their house. They play virtual reality all the time. And he plays a lot of Overwatch, and he builds his own PCs. Like, this dude is a super nerd in, like, this massive football player's
body. I love Terry Crews more and more I learn about him.
Yes. Dude, me too. Yes.
He is one of the best positive influences out there.
Yes.
Just with his high energy. He's always had a great positive message about just being who you are and being respectful and building yourself up.
Yeah.
And when I watched, there was a video out there of this circulating about why he decided to start building PCs with his son.
I was just going
to
mention that, yeah.
And that's, man, amazing. It was so uplifting. I was like, man, what a good father. Like, not only he didn't look at the video game thing as a little toy or whatever for his kid.
Yeah.
He looked at it like as a legitimate hobby that they could enjoy together. So he immersed himself and started learning about it himself. And I'm like, that's fucking awesome.
And that's how I decided to build his first PC.
And I decided and I to help, like, him build his first PC.
I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
That's so cool. I
know. Yeah. Love, typically the dad's like, just gaming.
Yeah. I'll buy your stupid games so you can go play in the other room. Play your video games in the other room.
Yeah. No, I'm going to play with you.
No, I'm going to play with you. I'm going to get involved.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
No, he seems like, I mean, he's such a, that's what I've always liked about him, because he hasn't been impacted negatively by his clout and his celebrity status and stuff like that. He's still a down-to-earth good guy. And he, they talk about in the interview with him, how does this feel for your son? You're a celebrity, and now you're like into all these video games and things like that. How does it feel for him? And he's like, he's having a ball with it. You know, he sees his kid just lights up all the time, and he's just super excited about it. When he was in Crackdown 3, like, I mean, that's just so cool. Like,
that is really
a
cool
gift to give to your kid. Like,
I could imagine my dad being Crackdown 3.
Yeah. And people asked him about Overwatch and how, like, people associate him with Doomfist. Mm-hmm. And he's actually been in talks with Blizzard about being a character of some kind. So I thought that was really interesting. So, yeah, Terry Crews.
He's cool.
Pretty
guy.
Cool. I like him a lot. He's a fun dude. Anyway.
We all should. I hope we actually do get to see him in an Overwatch game.
Dude. Well, that'd be amazing.
That'd be cool.
That'd be so cool. Someone already made a
video of him like voicing Doomfist in the new trailer that came out. I was like, this is amazing.
He would make a really good character of something in a video game. So I hope to see more of him going forward. Anyway, that concludes our news segment, guys. If there's anything that we miss or something that you want us to talk about, let us know at theinnergamer.net, or you can also shoot us an email at hello@theinnergamer.net. And we are going to take a quick break and come back and talk about some stuff in a actual discussion topic. No interview this week, so stay tuned. It'll be super exciting.
But it's not because we don't have interviews. It's because we have too much interview.
Yeah. We haven't talked about anything in a while.
Yeah.
And break.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. It's the Inner Gamer Podcast discussion topic.
And this week we have...
The summer's log is coming to an end.
Thank
finally.
God.
Yes. So summer's finishing up.
Yeah.
It is hot outside here in Texas.
It's actually hot in this room.
It's hot in this room. It's hot outside. It's hot everywhere.
Wonder why.
But it's one of those... So as gamers, you know, we're used to... We start at the beginning of the year. We're super excited about...
It's the natural timeline of things.
What's going to happen. And the beginning of 2017 specifically was...
You were talking
crazy
about.
Like Horizon Zero Dawn, and we had Neo, and we had Nier Automata, we had the Switch, which is Switch, and we had all these different things that came out, and then we hit summertime, and as usual, we have the summer slog. We look back to last year, 2017, right at the end, tail end, entering into the summer, we had Overwatch. So that was like, hey, here we go. Let's jump into summertime. Yeah. Overwatch is going to keep us company. This year we had like Battlegrounds, which has been awesome.
Right.
But not everybody can play Battlegrounds. Exactly. So how have you guys been biding your time with this summer slog? What are some tips that you can give people? Let's start with Devin on dealing with summer slog.
I'm actually a bit of an anomaly this year specifically because I was... I got my PC.
Yeah.
So for me, I got lucky for this specific summer. I got to play catch up. So with me getting on my PC and then the Steam Summer Sale kicked off, and I got to just... I have a huge library of games now that I can play. Not everybody has that luxury, or if you're already caught up in the scene and you've already had a PC for a while or don't have a PC, you're probably sitting at home wondering, what the shit do I do with my time?
Just replay this game again for the 10th time.
Right.
Well, and there's something to that. And I think, Brett, as you mentioned, every single year, it's the natural progression with gamers and the cycle. The beginning of the year, you get some releases. In the summer, it's a desert. And then as we get into...
Literally here in Texas.
Yeah. And as we get into... end of quarter or kind of mid quarter three, getting into the holidays, it's just this jam packed huge funnel of games that you don't have time or money for. But in the summer, you got to do something to bide your time, right?
Right.
So in my experience, what I've done in the past is I do one of two things. I'll go and explore a game that I've had on my list. Everybody has a list of, man, I need to play that game. I need to get into that game. And this year for me, that's been or at least from with me getting the PC, it's been Darkest Dungeon. That was mine to
get finally
get into. Yeah. And since I had a PC, and all I'd heard about is, dude, you would love Darkest Dungeon. You would love this Darkest Dungeon. And sure enough, I did. And I'm glad that I had it. I haven't gotten to play PUBG yet. Sorry.
That's okay. In due time.
Shame.
You will lose hours. I've reached now 42 hours in PUBG.
Damn.
That's an impressive thing for me. Oh, you're only at 55?
Yeah, I know.
I feel like you should be way higher.
I know. That's what I'm thinking.
Just because that's crazy.
I have 18 hours in duo play alone. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we're jumping to me for that. Yeah, I've been playing PUBG this whole time. So.
You've been PUBG'd it up for the summer.
The past 2 weeks has just been PUBG every time I have a chance.
Well, on your Switch, too, you've been doing some Switch stuff, right?
Actually, because of PUBG, I've put the Switch down a little bit. Wow. But now that Splatoon is out, I think I'm going to pick it up some more.
Yeah.
Because I was going through my second playthrough of Zelda.
Right.
And I kind of wish I waited because I'm like halfway through. I say that. It's really hard to measure where you are. I got 2 of the Divine Beast, and then was it Master Mode came out?
Hard Mode.
Yeah. And I was like, man.
New Game Plus.
I wish I could have just waited. But from what Charlie's been telling me, it's kind of a bitch.
So, yeah.
I mean, there's a Lynel in the beginning area, which is one of the hardest beasts you could fight in the whole game.
Yeah.
So that's fun. Usually I would just pick up, get some games I've been wanting to play early on, like Little Nightmares, and come back to... Actually, I got Dark Souls 3 on PC, so I've been kind of slowly getting through that, but it's just trying to find ways to bide my time until fall gets here.
Fall gets here, when the big titles you've been waiting for a while are released.
Yeah. I probably should be working more so I can be ready for all this, but I'm not because I'd rather play PUBG.
So when you guys come into this summer slog and you're looking at how am I going to... Well, what am I going to play next? What is your thought process that you go through to figure out, here's where I'm going to go? You know,
just what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have a library of games. I'm just like, I'm not feeling these 50 games. I'm just going to play this one.
These 50
games. I got to admit, for me, sometimes it's been, what game do I need to go back to?
Okay.
That's what I always go to first. I always sit here and think, is there a game that I haven't played in a while or a game that I was playing that I never got a chance to fully explore something? Or maybe it was a game that had multiple storylines and I wanted to explore another one, but I hadn't yet. I always go with that first. That's what I always go to. And what I did with that was in prior years, when I played Skyrim for the first time, I played Skyrim all the way through.
Nice.
Beat it. But that was just one character.
Right.
It was not until the summer after that Skyrim came out that I realized, like, man, there's a lot of other stuff I could have done in that game.
Yeah.
So I went back and I started like 2 other characters that I explored the game with and got to see all the other factions that I didn't get to do. Because the first time I just played a Viking and I was like, all right, let's kill some shit. Let's knock this shit out. I'm in Dragon Armor, bitch.
I thought about jumping back into that game. I was going through my library yesterday of Steam and like sorting through. Now that I finally discovered you can categorize your games, I was sorting through that library to like hide the things that I know I'm never going to play again and leave the ones in there that I have and then mark the ones that I have played, but may jump back into like things like Firewatch and Borderlands 2 and stuff like that. I put in my played category, but I didn't want to hide it away because you never know. I might want to jump back into that experience. But I'm not a guy that replays games. Like I can't do it because I feel like there's so many things out there I haven't played.
Time.
You know, there's so much that I haven't touched on that I feel like in a way I'm doing a disservice to myself to not play these new things that I haven't touched.
But how do you feel like you're not doing a service to the game that you didn't fully explore? Like this baffles me. Like I'm a bit taken back right now. I don't want to say I'm offended, but I'm just like,
yeah. Well, I mean, so I wrote an article last week that talked about my lessons for the last 20 years of playing video games. And the 3 things that I mentioned in there were, 1, you don't need to 100% a game. 2, Well, according to this guy, you don't have to play everything, which is what I've learned as time gets smaller and smaller. I haven't. Like, I still have this huge library of things that I haven't touched.
Everything.
Oh, you play. Oh, you're saying that you should.
No, you did.
No, you played the game Everything. That's the joke.
Oh, I get it, Zinger. That's funny. Look at this guy. He's making jokes and funnies and stuff. Anyway, so I did play Everything.
lost brain cells.
yeah, it happened. So the other and the last like main point was enjoying the experiences that you have. So that's what I feel like it's all about. And, you know, there's certain games that, like, for say Fallout 4, like, everybody loved that game. And Fallout 3, they loved it. I played it. I didn't like it. Should I go back and play that again? To me, no, because if I didn't like it the first time, there's a chance I could like it the second time. But there's so many other experiences out there that I could have so much more enjoyment with, like PUBG or like Left 4 Dead or, you know, different things like that, that I feel like I'm valuing my time more with that
something to be said for that. And I'll grant you that, because when I, my very first play of Witcher 3, I don't want to say I didn't like it, but I was gripped, but I was pulled to something else I was still playing at the time.
Right.
Overwatch.
Timing is everything.
Timing is everything.
Well,
I don't want to say that I was bored with it, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to let my Overwatch high ride for a while, and I'll come back to this in a bit. And I mean, I did, which I then sunk.
Too many.
I'm just going to say a stupid amount of hours. I'll go with that measurement of time, a stupid amount of hours into Witcher 3. But I'm glad that I did, because I felt like if I tried to juggle it between my plays of Overwatch and then Witcher 3, I felt like one would have probably cheapened the other. And I'm kind of that way. Like, I don't like to play multiple games at any given time. I like to focus my time on one.
Yeah. And I think that's very true with a lot of situations, because, you know, when Titanfall 2 came out, it came out a week before Battlefield 1, or yeah. And
something like that.
Yeah, it was bad timing, because if you go back to the podcast where I first like talked about that and reviewed it, I was kind of mixed feelings about it. I thought it was okay, but it wasn't amazing. And then whenever I did have time to go back and actually fully experience it,
I really powered through
the second half of it and was like, this is actually much better than I thought. So I had that game waited and came out a little bit later. Right. I think it would have been much better received by everybody. And that's why, like, I'm so glad that Red Dead Redemption decided to delay themselves, because that is a game that needs to come out on its own.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of games early this year that were pushed back from last fall.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that was good for them, because everyone had a chance to kind of play them, and you could probably catch up now to this point.
Yeah.
But I ran into the same problem you did when we first started this podcast, where it's like, at first I would be stuck on a game for days. Like, we were talking about Metal Gear Solid 5, Overwatch, and there was one more. I think maybe it was The Witcher.
If you go back to the old podcast,
seven episodes in a row, and it was just like, man. And so, like, now,
and
if
Trap
I can't
is still
get
still playing
her,
Dragon Age.
Yeah, right.
He is still playing Dragon Age.
And Fable. He's doing some Fable, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, mostly
anyway,
Dragon Age.
He's not on his podcast. So,
fuck yeah.
So, I'm trying to get in all these games. Not only is I could talk about them, but there's so much coming out now. It's like, I need to dedicate my time. If the game cannot capture me in about the first 30 minutes, maybe an hour, I'm putting that game down.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, it needs to capture me in a way that it wants me to keep coming back. Like The Witcher, like PUBG, like Overwatch, like those games.
So the first half hour of a game for you is like, man, that is crucial.
Yeah.
So,
setting up the game, setting up the world, setting up the character. Like, I want to be involved in all that.
So don't play Nier, because I hear in the first 45 minutes there's no save point until after you beat the first boss. So if you don't like it in that first 45 minutes and you die at the boss, you're probably never going to finish it. But apparently that game is amazing.
I really wanted it.
Yeah.
I really want to play it.
It's supposed to be so good, but that first hour is just the worst of the rest of the game.
Right.
Just like Prey was. That's what I heard. I haven't played Prey yet, but I hear the first hour of Prey is that way.
Well, that Neo did that for me.
Yeah.
It was either Neo or Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah.
And I was like, Neo came out before, so let me get through Neo. And when I got into the game, it was fun, but it wasn't my game. And, well, technically it is my game. It's very Dark Souls, which is cool, but I wasn't ready for that kind of slog. Right. It was a little bit of a slog for me. So sure. I was like, you know what? Horizon Zero Dawn, and it was the perfect game. Good story, good characters, like something you could follow and really drive you through that world.
To kind of get us back on point here, and this is out of my own morbid curiosity, but does anybody have a memory of your worst summer slog? Like, you can you think back to a year where, like, during the summer, you were like, I am fucking bored out of my mind waiting for that fall release, that winter release of a game to come out?
I feel like up until last year and the year before, it's kind of been that way. Because they're
2014, 2013, one of those.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's just because we're more engaged in the community.
Shit, I don't know.
But I feel like the beginning of the year is always, to me, a slog anyway.
Yeah.
But lately, I feel like there's been a lot of, like, positive things that have come up in the beginning of the year. And then there's a lot at the end of the year. So, I mean, the summer is still a slog, but you have all these games in the beginning that you can carry you through into the summer. But I can't really think of anything.
We're getting there where, like, these games are just, there's so much coming out.
Yeah.
And now that you have a PC, I mean, is it ever in with you?
No, man, I'm good.
I feel like this
I'm set for decades now. Decades.
This must have been the best summer ever.
Yeah. I think mine was probably the year that Gears 2 was going to come out. And my friends and I were just desperately waiting for Gears 2. And it was like, I vividly remember we were so bored that we were in our Xbox Live arcade library and we were like, fuck it, let's play Worms. Let's just play Worms 2.
Just find something.
We were so bored with everything else. We were like, fuck it, I'm just going to throw worm grenades at you for at least the next month until this game finally came out.
Yeah.
And then it was like, I remember specifically being at work and the day we found out it was delayed until like November 10th or November 11th. And I was like,
yeah,
it was a big forever. Yeah, dude.
For me, it was, I mean, the way I've been dealing with my summer slog this year, other than PUBG, is that I went back to some old, I haven't done it enough, but I went back to some old titles that I missed out 2 years ago. 3 years ago or whatever, like Life is Strange. Like, I started playing that, I was waiting for a period of time where I could really, like, sit down and enjoy it and stuff like that. But, yeah, and that's been awesome because it's
so
that period where I can
be satisfied. You're set.
Yeah. That's been cool. And then it's good. You know, what's also nice is the console owners, if you have the Xbox or the PlayStation, whatever, they have those free games that continue to come out.
Yeah.
And they've had good titles this summer. I mean,
well, they've
you know,
had
that's
good titles.
Been nice.
In general. Like, I'd say over the past like 8 months, the free to play games that you get every month, like, nailing it.
Yeah. So if you collect those in your library, those can hold you over through the summer too, and keep you busy until things happen. So I think no matter what system you're on, you have something to keep you occupied, but
it's tough sometimes though.
Oh yeah,
when you're in the mood to play a certain genre,
right
like, if you're like, I do not want to play, if I play another shooter, I'm gonna shoot somebody. So you're like, man, I'm really in the mood for a dungeon crawler, I'm really in the mood for a hack and slash. And if you don't have that and you're just waiting on that, it's like,
those moments,
man. How do you scratch that itch, man? It's like, tough. It's a tough thing.
And you go back and you try to play these other games, it just doesn't do it for you.
Yeah,
that happened to me a lot.
Well, there's some games that you try to play again, you're like, man, fuck this game.
Yeah. What am I doing with my life?
Yeah. I tried to do that with Dark Souls 2 before Dark Souls 3 came out.
Didn't do it.
And you have to remember, Miyazaki didn't make Dark Souls 2. Other team went. Made that one because he was busy making Bloodborne at the time.
Yeah.
So, like, I tried to go back and play Bloodborne 2, and it's like, I got to one of the
Dark Souls 2,
one of the frustrating bosses, and I was like, stupid.
Just wasted my whole
this.
Hour.
I'm literally like a plane, just like I hate this. I hate I died again.
Moments like that makes me like,
it's frustrating.
I'm just like, I'm putting the controller down. I'm going outside. I'm gonna go watch a movie somewhere. Yeah. I'm done being inside.
Well, and I think that's when I have to go back to some of my other hobbies. Like, man, let's play some D&D.
Yeah, I was about to say that is something that's interesting, because summertime is slow for games, but it's a very big time for movies and TV shows and things like that.
Yeah,
I mean, look at all the things that have come out this summer. We have Game of Thrones right now. We have like House of Cards,
The North Remembers.
Yes. They Wonder Woman came out, and like Guardians of the Galaxy and Spider-Man. So there's been a ton of stuff to like occupy us in other ways. So is that something that you guys do a lot?
Which is kind of uncharacteristic
also?
If you think for a summer. That's
usually get one in
Transformers
in the summer. You usually get one
in May,
one game,
one in like
one
June,
good movie. Maybe one or two shows are out there to kind of tide you over. But man, during the summer, like, it's like media out there is just like, go outside. And I hate it.
Yeah, because it's 100 degrees here.
Yeah. I live in Texas. I go outside and I burst into flames. Which is why I'm like, I am going to play D&D inside.
Yeah, that's true. Boom. That's true. D&D is a game you can play anywhere.
Reaching some sort of like media consumption precipice, because there is a lot of stuff coming out.
There is more.
And, well, and from last year to this year.
I'm happy about it because now it's no longer about wait until quarter three, quarter four to release those big heavy hitters. I think now it's because there is just such a huge saturation in the market of so many different kinds of titles, which we've talked about. I mean, there's an evolution of titles. It's not just your shooter or puzzle game. Like, there's so many different kinds of games out there that people just like spend the time to make it and pick a month to have it come out because it needs to come out soon. And I'm glad that we're now seeing more of those titles come into the summer market. Not a huge amount. We still have a bit of a summer slog, but there's more.
Yeah.
There's more coming out in the summer.
Can we bring up Nintendo and how they're kind of releasing these games over time? Like,
sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we kind of had an issue with this early on with Nintendo, but now that Splatoon has come out and we had ARMS come out, what was it, end of May?
Something like June-ish.
I can't remember right now.
We've had like a big release from them like every month basically since it came out.
So now that Splatoon's coming out, this is going to hold us over till, you know, these major games come out. October is going to be the
Super Mario. So that's, you know, this will, we have enough now to keep us through.
Right.
And I think there's something coming out in August for it. I don't remember what it is, but there's something in August that'll be coming too. So, but I mean, what would be interesting to see is, will this carry through to next year? Because this came out in March, so they had to have something in it.
Right.
Because people were like, oh, well, this is a Zelda system, and that's it. So they were like, well, we got to make sure we have stuff that's slowly creeping out in order to keep
people going. I think
they've
got enough titles to go behind them.
Yeah. I mean, we know that, you know, we're going to get Yoshi and Kirby and Metroid and stuff at some point.
Eventually, we're
going to
get our Smash Brothers game eventually. We know that's going to come. We've got the Mario. We've got... They've got titles. They've got enough IP to pull from.
Right.
Overcooked is coming to the Switch. I was pretty excited about that.
I just want everything to be on the Switch.
I love that game. I don't know why I'm so infatuated with Overcooked, but I am.
I know,
it's so simple and quirky.
I don't care.
And...
I love it.
No, it's great.
I feel like Gordon Ramsay screaming at people. Who the fuck's cleaning these dishes?
It's hard.
Yeah.
But it's fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's been nice to have that to keep us busy in the days of slowness. But
so what does consoles have right now, minus the free games? I haven't been on a console since.
Yeah, I haven't touched mine a whole lot.
That's how bad it's been.
Yeah, there hasn't been much.
There hasn't been much in the way of a console release.
So if you're console exclusive, then you're feeling this slog right now.
And you're probably feeling it. But again, I mean, as mentioned, like I think back to my summer times and I probably had a fairly large library of games I needed to go back and play. probably 4 summers ago, I think, was when I finally got into Wolfenstein.
Oh, nice.
Again. So I was like, man, I need to pick up Wolfenstein. It's been a while since I played. And I was waiting for another game to come out at the time. So I was like, to hell with it. Let's just play some Wolfenstein.
I think that's how I got into it. It was summer and you were like, you've been telling me about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'll play.
Yeah, yeah. So summertime, one thing that's interesting about this summer is that we had the, I've heard a lot of people saying that they picked up the Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And playing
that's
that.
Right.
So that came out. And, you know, this is crazy. So, you know, I was released my article last week about like games that I went back to. And one game that I did 100% complete back in the day was Kingdom Hearts. So last week I bought Kingdom Hearts 1.5 plus 2.5 Remix. And I'm going to go back and play that because that's one game I do want to go back and play, as I love Kingdom Hearts. I thought it was fantastic. So I bought that whole collection. So that's something new that's like, I think that it'll be interesting to see if this is a trend that goes forward, because the Kingdom Hearts thing just came out a couple months ago at the beginning of the summer.
Right.
And then we had the Crash Bandicoot thing. There's been a lot of like remastered kind of things that we've been seeing popping up. I wonder if we'll see that continue onward in the future years. Mm. You know,
I don't know.
Because everybody wants a Spyro, you know, that's the thing that's on the list.
It'd be nice to see some of our old favorites getting remade. I mean, we're already fucking doing it with movies. Like, we're remaking It and so many other things out there. Like, yeah, let's go ahead and let's remake some games that we...
Why not?
Relive my childhood.
All the ones they've been remaking, I haven't played before, so I'm very happy about it. But, okay, here's a case for the summer slog. I think it's kind of nice to separate, you know, the beginning of the year at the end of the year and have a nice time to kind of catch up with what you haven't had been able to play.
Yeah.
Because once fall comes around, it's almost nonstop. Because it used to be even the beginning of the year was a little slow. But now the beginning of the years,
at least the
past 2 years, have been pretty like, there's something coming out and you need to play it.
Yeah.
I remember my days working at the video game store and I felt so this impending doom of October hitting, because it's like that time is like right when it's about to happen and just like 30 games dropping at once. You're like, well, I guess I'm going to eat saltines for a couple months, but I'm going to be entertained.
You know, if you're a PlayStation owner, like right now, you're probably still playing Neo. You're probably still playing Horizon. If you got into Persona 5, you're still playing because that's a 90-hour game. Yeah. And then Nier, I mean, those are all games that are like 30, 40-plus hours in time. So as a PlayStation person, like, you have a lot to keep you busy throughout
the
summer, which is crazy.
Because I know some people only pick up like 2 or 3 games a year because they just can't get through it all.
Right.
Which sucks. I don't know how I couldn't do that. I would just not sleep.
Yeah.
I got to play these games.
Exactly. And I still have some other games that I picked up from last year. Like, I want to play Doom still. Like, I picked that up. So I'm going to jump into that pretty soon. I still want to play Arkham Knight. So that's on my list to jump into very soon.
What?
I know.
Brett.
I'm terrible.
I've already played that game 3 times.
I know. It's
amazing.
I was listening to somebody talk about games that they play and how often they play it. There was somebody that said that they played The New Order, Wolfenstein The New Order, 21 times already.
Dang.
21.
Dang.
Now, that's a game that I'm surprised to hear somebody saying that they played it that much. But that's how they've been biding their summer.
Speaking of that, wait. This summer?
Well, not just this summer,
just
but like
this summer. Okay.
Yeah, they've
okay,
several times this summer, but they're up to the point of like 21.
I've been meaning to get back into that just so I can catch up on the story, which I don't think you need to catch up that much for the new one coming out.
No.
But it was such a good game.
I still haven't played Old Blood or whatever.
That is a gamer's game.
Yeah. You played that, right? Yeah. It's a good game. It's a very good game.
Unexpected. Very, very classically made, like just like traditional old titles are made. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, yeah.
Like the way you had to...
Well, you had to like pick up ammo
things.
And shit on the floor.
Oh,
it was like, what?
Yeah.
And you didn't have...
And
your health wouldn't...
Yeah, you had to pick up health from the floor. It was like going back to Call of Duty 1. It was weird.
When you first told me that, I was like, I don't... What?
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've come so far, Brett. Why you
med packs? What?
Yeah. It's awesome.
Works
though.
That well.
Yeah. I like it a lot. So,
You wouldn't have any friends who talked about the summer? I'm trying to think.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of my friends have just been, I mean, they've literally been playing PUBG. That's been a lot of the thing that they've been doing. But I feel
But they're the kind of gamers that pick up one game and stick with it.
Yeah, for sure. And I have a few friends that have been trying to get into some new titles. One of them was playing Paladins.
Oh, nice.
The free game. Paladins.
So me and Travis tried it.
I got friends still doing Overwatch.
Ditch it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Ditch it.
And you got Doomfist. You know, there's a lot of new content that came out for Overwatch this year, so that was good.
It's true.
So it's pretty awesome. Well, anyway, yeah, so Summer Slog.
Not really a slog, now that I think about it.
I mean,
it
was sloggy.
Yeah.
It was a little sloggy.
It's enough for me to get caught up on some of the stuff. Like, right. I got to catch up with Little Nightmares.
I will say, like, it just as a thought from it, like, it is nice to think about the Summer Slog now not being a slog, like it used to be at least.
Right.
Like,
right.
Nowadays, I'd say probably, like, you know, as we've kind of mentioned, like, within the last 5 years, probably, we've steadily grown into this. It's catch up time.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily slow, but people are still able to be entertained with items. Right. Not like it was probably
two or three years ago.
Man, when you would sit there thinking like, I'm going to bash my head against the wall.
I don't want to play games anymore.
Yeah. You get bored.
Yeah.
Real bored.
Oh, yeah.
Then again, we were younger.
Release anything.
We had more ADD back then.
That's true.
It's younger.
Well, that's another interesting thing, too.
We also have work
now. There's just more opportunities for more stuff to come out because now everybody does DLC. So if you don't have a game coming out, you have some form of DLC that comes out or some kind of add-on or what have you. Like, there's so many different release opportunities for everything.
That's true.
Yeah. So
it's good stuff.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, you guys have anything else to chat about with the Summer Slog, or are we good?
I think I'm good, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that covered it all.
Well, if you guys have any tips or suggestions for the Summer Slog and how you deal with it, let us know in the comments. And we'll share and talk about what you think.
Let us know what you used to do during the summer.
Yeah.
When there was not a whole lot of games coming out.
Yeah.
What year was your worst summer?
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Everyone has their worst summer. Everyone knows.
Everybody. All we did was play Worms.
Did we talk about your worst summer?
All we did was play Worms.
I kind of remember the worst summer, but I was just like a random.
You were pretty busy as a child and an adult, so.
Yeah, I mean.
You just be like, fuck it, I'm going to go work.
I mean, back when I was playing a lot of games, I'm just going to ignore what just happened. Back when I was had more time to play games, I would just Call of Duty or Battlefield or whatever game was the thing at that time, I would just keep playing that. Like, that would carry me through the entire year.
True.
And then I'd have other things that I would intermix throughout that. But I mean, I played
those
a lot.
Man. I couldn't do it. I couldn't. Yeah. I would just get so fucking bored.
Well, and the thing was, I just had like a group of friends that were always there. Like, that's what I enjoyed so much about it. If I jump in, like, we're going to be playing this. And I used to play competitive stuff a lot. So, like, that was part of we would get together 3 or 4 nights a week and we would practice positions and stuff in the map and figure out different plays and like all these things that we would do when we're playing our 5v5 search and destroy kind of missions and stuff. That was a whole different side of me back in the day. That's not me anymore.
That's
when Brett was actually nerdy.
Yeah. I know.
Anyway.
So awesome. Well, thank you guys for checking it out. And like I said, if you have any questions or anything you want to add to the discussion, let us know. Tune in next time. We'll be talking about some more awesome discussion stuff. And there's something you want us to talk about, please email us hello@theinnergamer.net and we will have a exciting
or the
topic.
Whatever's easier for you.
Yes. So
preferably email, but you know, we'll take comments.
Yeah. And we'll give you a shout out. It'd be awesome.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
All right, everybody, that concludes our discussion this week. And that wraps up our show. So,
yay,
everybody, what are we going to play next week?
Oh,
Splatoon 2 and PUBG.
Holy shit.
Are you surprised?
Yeah.
Are you surprised?
Say, is there any shock in that?
I know.
That's all I've been playing.
It's probably going to be a couple more episodes of Austin and PUBG.
PUBG. Yeah.
I mean, if I want to be honest with y'all,
yeah, it's terrible. Is it? It's so weird how there's just so few games that just grip.
That's true.
It's bullshit. Anyway, Devin, what are you going to play?
I have a little bit more in the Steam library I'm going to finally get into. I think Oxenfree is my next one.
Nice.
I've been meaning to get to that this summer.
Brittany Johnson, hear her voice after we had her on the podcast.
So she was on the podcast. We also interviewed her at QuakeCon 2016, right?
Yes. QuakeCon 2016. I think so.
Every time I've started my computer, I've seen it there looking at me. I'm like, I need to do this. So I'm thinking I'm finally going to get out of Darkest Dungeon. I've sunk enough into that. And then I tried Don't Starve, which was just, I don't want to say a massive failure, but I suck at it. Like, it was just hard. So, man. I'm going to get into something else.
Massive failure.
Oh, that's man. Good. It's a good game. I just suck at it.
Yeah. Man, that's crazy. I'm going to return to, actually, I forgot I stopped playing Orwell. Sorry. So I'm going to go back to Orwell.
You're going to go back to Orwell?
Yeah, I like that game. It was cool. It's Creeper. A fun game. Yeah. So I'm going to go back to that. I'm going to go jump back into Life is Strange because I need to finish that out. And then I don't know if I'm going to play Avon Colony much more, but I'm either going to start Kingdom Hearts or I'm just going to start Call of Duty Infinite Warfare because I want to play that just to have talked about it. That's going to happen. So that's my story. And then, of course, PUBG because that's just a given. So be sure and check us out next Tuesday for more gaming goodness. You can visit theinnergamer.net for our latest podcasts, blogs, videos, and social channels. If you like what you hear, please, please leave us a review on iTunes or tell a friend.
Don't we have the an only event way we coming up?
Yes, we do have an event coming up August 18th.
August 18th.
We have an event. If you guys are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, come out to Community Brewery. It'll be a Nintendo Switch party. We will have ARMS.
Probably some
Splatoon 2. We'll be playing some Mario Kart
Jackbox,
8.
If we can get internet.
Maybe some Jackbox.
Dude, if we can get internet, I think we should play some Jackbox. That'll be a lot of fun with the big
people. Yeah, we'll be doing a lot of stuff. There will be beer. There will be food. There will be, I don't know what kind of food yet, actually. But there will be a lot of stuff happening. So come on out. Alcohol. Community Brewery, Dallas, Texas. It'll be
kids,
awesome.
Children.
Dogs.
That's the same.
Aunts, uncles.
Dogs.
Babies.
Babies.
Babies won't be playing this week.
Yeah.
Bring your fish. Everyone's welcome.
Yeah. It'd be awesome.
So come on out to Community, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We also have a Patreon set up, which is a way for you, our listeners, to donate to the cause in order to bring you all the great content you want to see in here. Plus, if you do support us, we have some great exclusive content for you and rewards, such as being a guest on the podcast. You get some access to some very exclusive content that only you would get, or even joining us for a session of D&D. So please head over to theinnergamer.net and click donate to contribute. That wrapped us up. My name is Devin DeRee.
My name is Brayden Oski.
And I'm Austin Morales. And you've been listening to
The Inner Gamer!
That was kind of sad.
What's on this one? I know. He's hungover.
He's probably hungover.
He's not even awake
Luis,
right now.
Poor Luis. He's literally probably laying in bed just like, fuck this, guys.
Make me wake up all
And then
time.
Rolling over and playing Stardew Valley. Harvest.
He has a hammock now, so he's probably in his hammock.
Oh, my gosh.
Wakes up
he is. He's in a
games.
Fucking hammock in his living room. What?
Video games all day. I might have to do that shit. He said that's his most prized possession, right?
I know, right?
What's your most prized possession? Is it this family heirloom? No, it's my fucking living room hammock. 're you laughing and you're pissing me off.
I wasn't. It's uncontrollable laughter.
Wow.
I don't know what that was.
That was amazing.
We don't ever have that music anywhere.